Hallelujah. Wonderful. Praise God. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm making it mine. Turn to the other neighbor and say, I'm making it mine. Hallelujah. How many of you here are believing God for a promise to come to pass? Lift up your hand if there is. And how many of you, there's something very pressing that either is really important to you or you're really passionate about, but you're really believing God? Just lift up your hand and wave. Praise God. And that should be our lives, by the way. We should be those who are ever pursuing the promises of God. But I want to make a statement. And I spoke to my husband, and you know, every now and then I run things by him. He reads all my books, not just to check the flow and all the rest of it, but he's kind of like my doctrine checker. You know, it's good to have one of those. But I spoke to him this morning, and then what he said, it was like, that's exactly how I wanted to articulate what you've just said. But I want to read this. All the promises of God are conditional. They are possible, but not one of them is inevitable. Shall I say that again? All the promises of God are conditional. They are possible, but they're not inevitable. And the way God put it in my spirit was a simpler form of that, which is promises are possibilities. And that might sound like a dampener, but it's not. Because you see, if you and I know how to lay hold of the promises of God, we can be the ones who possess them. Right. But if we end up believing what the Bible doesn't say, that the promises of God just drop into our laps, which, by the way, sometimes they do, just because of the way God is. Amen. He is such a merciful God. And sometimes they just fall into our laps. But what the Bible is clear about is that every promise that God gives us is this awesome possibility. He will never break his word. Amen. But you see, there's things that God wants us to do to partner with him to possess those promises. Are you following me? God wants you and I to be those who receive everything that God has. So I want you once again to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm making it mine. I'm making it mine. You now just tell yourself, I'm making it mine. Hallelujah. I want to read a story that I'm sure you know well from 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm starting at verse 41. And I think you're going to know this story well. But before I start reading, I want to remind you what James chapter 5 and verse 17a says. It says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now, when the Bible has to spell something out that's so obvious, it's because God knows that we're going to have a kind of an inclination to somehow believe that the people in the Bible don't have a nature like ours. You know, I often feel extremely human. Anyone else? I am so conscious of my humanity, my weaknesses, my shortcomings. But we can read the Bible and assume that these men and women in the Word, you know, they were just perfect. You know, we can assume, oh, yes, they just glided through life and miracle after miracle. Rubbish. Amen? And so we're told very specifically that Elijah had a nature like ours. And it was in reference to the way that Elijah went about possessing the promises of God. So I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to get into the word. And I'm starting at verse 41. And it said, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Seven times Elijah sent him, go again. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is the cloud the size of a man's hand rising out of the sea. So Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And I'm going to stop there. You see, at the very outset, you've got to understand what was going on at this time for Elijah and for the nation. There had been a drought for 3.5 years. And the king of Israel completely blamed, you know, isn't it so often the case? People blame us. Anyone ever got blamed for stuff? You know, we get blamed all the time. And Ahab, the king of Israel at the time, blamed Elijah rather than looking at his own shortcomings and what really caused the drought. So here is Elijah at a time he loved his nation. He was passionate about seeing the salvation and liberation of his nation. And it will be breaking his heart knowing my nation is starving, is dying, is parched because of this drought. But there was, so that was the kind of macro issue that Elijah was facing. But there was a micro issue as well, which is he knew that the king of Israel will kill me. He's been in hiding all of these years because he knows that he knew the king of Israel wanted to kill him. And he's come out. They had a big contest, but now he knows this king really will kill me if we don't see an immediate change in these circumstances. But right at the beginning of that, if we can go back to the beginning of that section, verse 41, the first thing that happened was that Elijah declared the promise. Now, you know, my prayer for you is that your instinct, second nature for you, is that whenever you're facing a new challenge or whenever a new dream has grown on the inside, that your first port of call is chapter and verse. Are you listening? Before we do anything else about, oh God, please, you know, Lord, will you answer these prayers? God, come through. Lord, move this mountain. God, fulfill this dream. There is nothing that is more powerful in our lives to change a situation than chapter and verse. We need to listen to the voice of God. We need to get a verse on it. Every challenge I face and every dream I'm pursuing, the first thing I do, and I've learned this from my husband, the first thing I do is chapter and verse. Chapter. If I've not got chapter and verse, I can't start just chasing my tail. I need chapter and verse because the word works. And that isn't just a prophecy. Prophecy we wage war with, but the word of God we stand on. Amen? You know, so the first thing that Elijah had was the promise. And he didn't just put the promise in his heart. He put the promise in his mouth. You know, when you think the word, it starts to grow on the inside of you. But when you declare, when you proclaim the word, this boldness will arise on the inside. And the more you declare it, the more you proclaim it, you'll start to realize, my goodness, even my own perspective towards this challenge has changed. I'm no longer seeing a mountain. I'm seeing myself on the top of it, having a praise party. Because there's something about proclamation. So I want to encourage you. So step number one is chapter and verse. Get the promise. Say, get the promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, get the promise. Hallelujah. But I want us to look at something else. So the second thing that Elijah did, you know, Elijah was someone that often told people what to do. Do you remember when he was with Elisha? kept saying to Elisha, oh, you stay here, I'm going on. You remember, if you know your Bibles, you'll know the story when Elijah was basically living out the last weeks maybe, of his ministry and his life. And he kept saying to Elisha, stay here, I'm going there. Stay here, I'm going there. And each time Elisha said, I'm not leaving you. Why am I saying this? You know, sometimes we need to really consider, you know, this is going to sound really silly, but I want you to grasp it. The last time I was in America, I always get time with my spiritual mama out there, Prophet Kathy. And I contacted her, and we were arranging when I was going to go over, and she's a very considerate, thoughtful woman. And so I was trying to sort of work out how I was going to get there, and I was going to go by Uber. And so I contacted and said, look, I can't come this time, but is this time okay? And she said, don't worry, sweetheart. We can just meet up at the conference on Wednesday. And I replied saying, unless you haven't got time for me, no way. I'm coming to you. And she was like, wonderful, I wanted you to come. I just didn't want to make life difficult. Now, this may sound like a strange story to be telling you, but if you'll grasp what's in it, you'll grasp something really important, because you see, Elijah said to Ahab, oh, go and eat and drink. There's a promise being given. You know, sometimes we celebrate at a prophecy. And yes, we should say, thank you, Jesus. But a prophecy is a prayer point. You know, they've even proved in the whole realm of goals, and I was sharing this with my cell, and I keep reminding them, you know, they've done research. This is extraordinary. And they've done research to look at people, and when you share your goals, you know, you're maybe starting a new year or halfway through the year. Maybe some of you are developing new goals for the second half of this year. But you know, the chemicals that are released when you share your goals are very similar to the pleasure chemicals that are released when you achieve your goals. Which means we've got to be really clear that we know if God's asked me to do something and I share it, why I'm sharing it, and I'm not going to somehow get all my excitement from that. What's my point? You see, when a prophecy comes, it's our opportunity to say, right, God, I'm taking that word. Those ones that we just know they're from God, I'm taking that word. Lord, I'm taking that word into my prayer closet. I'm taking that word and I'm going to get chapter and verse to back it up, because I'm going to wage war with the prophetic, but I'm not going to stand on it. But something's come that I know is from heaven. So I'm now going to take it and pray. You see, when the promise was declared, a carnal man went and had something to eat, and a spiritual man went to pray. You know, there is such value in us learning, you know what, there are so many prayers that other people have prayed for me that have preserved me, that have brought me through, that have resulted in the promises of God being manifested, and I thank God. I know that my mother's prayers carried me through university. I know Claire and another friend's prayers carried me out the other side of backsliding. You know, people's prayers. But you know, when we make a decision, I'm gonna pray. Are you hearing me? Say it together. I'm going to pray. Something happens. And Elijah prayed. Now, I want you to hear what happened. He prayed. This is a spiritual man. I'm sure he was full of faith. He received the word of the Lord. He had his chapter and verse. And he's praying and he says to his servant, what can you see? Not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, but six times he got given the same report. There is nothing. There is nothing. Do you know, there's something that's got to rise on the inside of us that is able to withstand every sense of immovability. You know, there are some times we pray and it instantly comes to pass. But there are other times when God's even using the process of prayer to build perseverance on the inside. You know, God wants us to be those who persevere in prayer, who don't give up. You know what? You may have the same goal 10 years in a row. It doesn't matter. Hang on until you see it come to pass. Keep pushing. Keep persevering until circumstances line up. You know, what does it say in Isaiah 53, verse 1? And I love it in the Amplified. If you could put it up in the Amplified, because it's basically saying, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you listen to? And I love the way it says it in the Amplified. It says, I will believe, and it says trust in, rely upon. Let me find it. It says, who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to. You know, sometimes what we're doing is we're just trusting because we know what manner of God we serve. He's a good, good God. And so sometimes it's trust that's required. Other times it's this reliance where we're just saying, God, I rely. I'm relying on you. I'm relying on you. There's no one else who can do this. But other times, you see, in that scripture it says cling to. There are times when we just need to cling on the word and say, I'm not being moved by what I see. I'm not being moved by what I hear. I'm only being moved by your word, Lord God. And it's his word that is immovable. You see, we're not the ones who are immovable. But his word is immovable. And it said, you know, all these times people were coming. This man was coming and saying, there's nothing. There's nothing. I want to encourage you, if you've been praying for something and you keep hearing the same report, nothing's changed, nothing's changed, nothing's changed, that you respond to that with perseverance, that you allow determination to grow more than ever on the inside, that you see that as a red flag to a bull. And you say, this means I'm going to start charging. You know what? I may have been praying one way already, but now I am going to increase my prayer. I'm going to increase my determination. You know, one of the things that I love, that I remember the first time I saw you do it was when we were engaged. But one thing that I've seen my husband do regularly is when he has felt there's been a personal attack against him, he takes vengeance. Now, I know the Bible says vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So he doesn't go out with a gun, you understand? But he'll sow a seed. He will do something deliberately to let the enemy know, when you touch me, my family or my things, you're going to pay. And so he'll sow a seed he had not planned to sow before. Just as a way of saying, Satan, I'm going to make it tough for you to pick on me. You know, and so we've got to get that place where we are ready just to fight back harder. Amen. But you see, this is the bit that God really spoke to me about. You know, I was in another church and suddenly God spoke to me for home. And then the seventh time. And the servant came back and we all know the story, but he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Can you just put that picture on the screen, please, Gifty? The one you've got lined up. Now, I want to ask you a question. Like, we've been in the most glorious heat waves. Have you been enjoying the sunshine? Hasn't it been wonderful? It's like being on holiday at home. I mean, Britain really is the most beautiful nation in the world when the sun shines. I mean, it's beautiful anyway. But I want to ask you a question. We've been looking at beautiful blue skies, haven't we? Has anyone ever seen the odd little flaky white cloud up there? Has anyone? Loads. They come and go. They go flying by. Just little flaky white clouds. And in fact, those lovely little flaky white clouds, they almost make the sky look even more beautiful, don't they? They are pretty. They're wonderful. There we are. Little cloud, the size of a man's hand. What's my point? You see, and that's probably bigger than it actually was. I mean, that looks like the size of Anthony Joshua's hand. You get it in always, don't you? Let's now just speak naturally speaking. Does this look like there is about to be the biggest thunderstorm in 3.5 years? No. This is the thing. How are we going to read the tiny signs that do not look like they're the answer? This doesn't say to me the heavens are about to open. But you see, the third P, we need the promise. Number two, we need to be persistent in prayer. But number three, we need to perceive what is going on in the spiritual realm. We need to respond to what God is saying with faith. You know what? We don't need God to do the whole thing there for us to say, yes, God is real, because we're not carnal. You know, if I was looking at that and I was beside Elijah, I'd be saying, mate, you need to stay on the floor. This is not going to bring a storm. This is not going to water the whole of Israel. Are you listening? And I want you to think of your own lives now, the promises you're believing for. You might not yet be able to see dark clouds gathering, but it doesn't matter, because the Lord God is looking for a faith response to the things he sends us. And sometimes all he will send at the beginning is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And this is my question: how will we respond to that cloud? Because I felt God ask me, what do you think would have happened if Elijah had responded differently to this cloud? You know, sometimes we think God hasn't been faithful, or sometimes we look back because we just don't know how God operates. But you see, God loves to partner with us. Remember, Abraham is a man with nature like ours. He has to fight with doubt and unbelief just like we do. He has to fight with fear just like we do. But he made a decision. That's enough for me. That's all I need. I just need a tiny sign for good. That's all I need, and I am going to attach my faith now on that. And he jumped up and he declared to Ahab, you better get back down there before the water stops you. He must have looked like a madman, but he was a man filled with faith. He was a man who was responding with obedience to the promises of God. You see, I believe that God is challenging us, that he wants us to be those who aren't... What if Elijah had carried on praying? Now, two possible outcomes. Either that cloud the size of a man's hand would have drifted back across the sea. Possibility A. Possibility B, he may have got stuck on Mount Carmel by a torrential rainfall. God is speaking to us, and he's saying it's time to respond. It's time to see the signs that aren't the big answer to prayer yet. But you see, when Elijah saw that, he rose to his feet, he gave the word to the king, and he ran down to the city to make sure he was there in time. He acted on his faith. Faith without works is... And you know, God is asking us to sew it all together, to bring it all together, so that we can be those who truly celebrate the victory. I want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He perceived and he believed. You know, God wants us to grow up to a level of maturity where we're able to perceive and believe, where we will pursue the promises of God, where we won't be knocked back and knocked down by all the different discouraging things that life throws at us, but that we will be quick to get back up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, just shut your eyes in the presence of God. If there's been a promise and you've been hearing the words, there is nothing. Again and again. And you've sensed in your heart, you know that those words ended up becoming a truth to you. The Lord God today wants to bring you back from that place and back into that place where you are able to trust and stand and believe. So right now, just spend a moment, if that's you, and you know that discouragement got in during the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth time. Just give it to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And then right now, let's just lift up our hands and we're going to make a declaration. And we're going to declare together, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are faithful. Your promises to me are yes and amen. I will persist in prayer. I will perceive and believe. I will pursue every one of your promises so that I may give glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And just before we finish, just your eyes shut in the presence of the Lord. If you're here today and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you've believed in him, you've been a churchgoer, or maybe you never even believed. It could be that you once were following after him, but in your heart you've drifted away, you've backslidden and you've gone off in all sorts of different directions. But the Lord is calling you today, and he's giving you an opportunity to invite him into your heart. You know, having Jesus on the inside is the beginning of everything else starting to fall into place. If that's you, if you're saying, I want to invite Jesus into my life, I want to follow him, I want to know his peace and to know his plans for my life, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you just lift up your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I speak your blessing over every single one of your people. And Lord, I thank you that you surely are the one who is able to bring every single promise to pass. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Praise God. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. What an awesome